I'm a good person. I wanted to do the right thing. And what I was supposed to do was make a gift to the trust. I wouldn't do anything else. There is some benefit to prepping your witness. Of course, maybe that was prepping your witness. You know, you don't know. Well, all right, so this is an interesting thing. And your instinct is to say, well, this is a problem. But let me just say, let's just suppose I told you, here's my estate planning strategy. Here's how I'm going to minimize my estate plan. I happen to live in a little neighborhood, and my little neighborhood has 200 houses in it, let's just say. So on January 1, I've gotten out checks, 200 checks, for $17,000 apiece. And I'm going to go house to house. I've also gotten a whole bunch of $20 bills. And I'm going to say to each of my neighbors, here's my $17,000 check, and here's a $20 bill. And I'm going to kind of hand you the check, and you're going to say, put on the back, thanks, Turney, and then you're going to endorse it to the trust for my kids, primary trust for my kids, my grandkids. And you get $20. And what does that mean? What do you get the $20 for? Coming to the door on January 1 and endorsing a check. Well, you know that doesn't work, right? And if I gussy up the facts, oh, they can deposit the check, and I really don't do it to all 200 families because 30 of them I don't trust, but the others I do, you're going to say that still doesn't work. You can't do that. And you say, well, what's the difference with Ms. Maldino? Well, that kind of starts to worry you a little bit, it seems to me. And you can solve your problem a little bit by separating things out in time. But it reminds us of some fundamentals of what we have, which is that people can be agents. Now, you say, well, okay, that's a nice thing. What does it have to do with making gifts generally? We know that you can get off the exemptions. Well, I'll tell you what I worry about a lot. I see it. I do it sometimes. Large numbers. We're telling folks to give away $12 million, $25 million. And folks are nervous about that. Most of my clients are nervous about that. Doesn't matter how, they've got $100 million, I'm telling them to give away 25 of it. They can afford to do it. But they're nervous about that. When I was 1986, when I started, it was $600,000. A lot of money, but a little difference between that and $25 million. So we tell folks, well, let's put in all kind of trap doors. So I see folks who say, I'm going to put assets in a trust, and my spouse is going to be the beneficiary, and my spouse has a testamentary power of appointment, and maybe can give the assets back to me if my spouse predeceases me. So while we're alive and kicking, we'll put the money in the bank account. We're not going to worry about divorce. That's a good trap door. She's going to add me back in if she dies. She's not dead. So if I die, I'm not too worried about that being some way the IRS can claw that money back, because she's not dead yet, for Pete's sake. If she dies, then we have to kind of figure out, do I want to become a beneficiary or not? Maybe she's exercised her power and added me back in as a beneficiary. But I can always say, I don't want to be a beneficiary, you know, depending on my circumstances. So I feel okay about that. What I see now increasingly are folks putting in current powers of appointment, the so-called 3 a.m. person. So your fraternity brother, your sorority sister, your aunt, uncle, cousin, somebody who's in, who can modify the trust in the event of emergency, in the event of problems. And many of those people are not fiduciaries. They're just people with powers of appointment. So remember, we have a rule. We have a line of cases. I like to think of them as the Goodwin cases. From the 70s that say, hey, even if a trustee does exactly what you tell them to do, that's okay, because they at least have fiduciary duties. That's a little bit of an overstatement, but you have Goodwin cases, same family. They had income tax problems and estate tax problems, so got fiduciary duties, but a power of appointment holder doesn't have a fiduciary duty. So explain to me, I put assets in a trust and I've got my fraternity brother. And the whole purpose of the fraternity brother is that if I send him a note at 3 a.m. and I say, hey, I need you to cut out my daughter out of this trust because she and her husband are undergoing some problems and I don't want her to be a beneficiary. And I want my fraternity brother to say, okay, I got my printer on. I'm going to sign what you email me. Not a fiduciary. Why isn't he my agent? Now, we have facts. Maybe he lives next door to my daughter, and he's the one who's called and said, hey, attorney, you need to take your daughter out of the trust. But in the normal circumstances, isn't he kind of my agent? We forget about agency. We just kind of bop by there. A case like Smaldino kind of, at least me, pulls me up short. And you say, well, you have the solution to that. You don't have a power of appointment. You do somebody else. You call them like a trust protector, and you give them a fiduciary duty maybe, or kind of a half of a fiduciary duty. Those are my favorite. Who do they have a fiduciary duty to? They can't have a fiduciary duty to you. They have a fiduciary duty to the trust or the beneficiaries or somebody. Well, that'll be great. My brother-in-law will be on the stand.